Further complicating the situation now is bevacizumab. Bevacizumab, again, is a wonderful drug that has very few common toxicities. The concern, again, are these rare toxicities. Fortunately, in colon cancer, we only have a 1.5% risk of these GI perforations. Interesting now, the data that was just reported in ovarian cancer. And again, although we don't really know what the mechanism is, I do think that it probably has something to do with a previously instrumented abdomen and adhesions, and probably also some sort of a watershed effect where in patients who have undergone previous surgery, their capillary beds or their perfusion may not be as good as in other people. And if you're somehow impairing that perfusion further, that may lead to some focal ischemia. So again, I think that since we really haven't figured that particular problem out, I don't really consider that, although I do tell my patients about the risk for perforation. But what I have recently done with bevacizumab is look at the Skillings data that looked at trials in colorectal cancer, breast cancer, and I believe also lung cancer was the third group of patients, and looked at who was at risk for the arterial thrombotic events with bevacizumab. And up until recently, I've quoted to my patients the risk that there's about a 2% increased risk of arterial thrombotic events with bevacizumab. Now, with the Skillings data, I try to break it down for the patients. I know that looking at patients who are younger than age 65 who have not had a prior heart attack or stroke, I now quote them a 0.8% risk for any of these events. On the other hand, though, patients who are older than 65 and patients who have had a prior heart attack and stroke, those are the patients where there's a much higher risk. Particularly a patient who's 65 years or older and has had a prior heart attack and stroke, I'm now thinking twice about using bevacizumab. And I think that that's important to note because in patients who are 65 years or older who have had a prior heart attack or stroke, the risk of having another arterial thrombotic event with bevacizumab is 17%. And that's a very high number.
Although we don't know what the control sort of number
is. We don't know what the control is, and we don't know exactly what the events are, but for instance, this would be a situation where I might not use bevacizumab in the frontline setting. I might then use it in the second line setting where I've already lost sort of the first round and where I say, okay, now listen, we've had progression already on our first treatment. Now should we consider adding bevacizumab? Because I think that the E3200 study has very nicely shown that it really doesn't have to be the first regimen. And if I can get a good response with FOLFOX alone, in a patient who has these risks, then maybe hold off on using the bevacizumab until I need it more.